All right, John chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. Now, there's only two verses in what I'm going to read here that I'm particularly interested in, but I wanted us to get a context here. So I'm going to read John chapter 16, verses 16 through 28. And the verses I'm going to be interested in are verses 26 and 27. Jesus is in the upper room, and he's actually walking toward the garden, and he mentions this. He says, "A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me." Some of his disciples then said to one another, "What is this thing he is telling us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." So they were saying, "What is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, "Are you deliberating together about this, that I said, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, or in proverbs. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am now leaving the world again and going to the Father." Off and on throughout my years of pastoring and of dealing with people, I've had people misconstrue something about Jesus Christ being our intercessor. Is Jesus Christ interceding for his people? Yes. The answer to that is yes. The book of Hebrews teaches us that. But many times, and I won't say a majority of times, but on a semi-regular basis, I do hear believers misconstrue what that intercession is. And so I want to bring this up to us because I've actually heard it, not recently, but I've actually heard it in our church through the 20 years that I've ministered here. And I heard it in my previous administration also. And it goes something like this. People understand Jesus' intercession to mean that Jesus hears our prayers and then prays them to the Father. So you go, Jesus, pray in his name, you pray to him, he hears your prayers, and then he prays those to who? He prays those to the Father. Sometimes I've heard believers put it this way, that what Jesus' intercession is that he takes our prayers and then he makes the prayers acceptable to the Father. I mean, we don't know how to pray as we ought, right? Everybody agree with that? And I think we all would agree that this isn't good English, but we're all not very good prayers. Okay? That we many times we don't know what to pray and we don't know how to pray it and so on and so on. And so I've heard it said, well, he'll take our imperfect prayers. He hears our imperfect prayers and then he makes them acceptable to the Father. Or sometimes, and I think maybe if I remember correctly, I've heard this once, that he actually, that we kind of have to make our prayers and kind of persuade Jesus to accept the prayers, and then he makes it so that the Father is persuaded to answer our prayers. All of that is a misunderstanding of what it means for Jesus Christ to be our intercessor. Now, in this passage, in verses 26 and 27, he specifically denies that he's doing anything to our prayers to manipulate them in any shape, fashion, or form. Listen to what it says. In that day, you, believing people, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. Does everybody see that? So what is he saying there? Just in case you think that what I mean by this is that you come to me in prayer and then I take the prayers to the Father. No, I'm not saying to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. So what is he saying here? He is saying this, that you and I can go to the Father, what? Directly. Everybody see that? In other words, it's not like Jesus is a net or a barrier, okay? But that we can go to the Father directly. So in that day, you'll ask in my name, and I'm not saying to you that I'm going to request of the Father on your behalf, because the Father himself loves you, and he will himself do what? Answer that prayer. Now you'll notice that we're right here in the midst of this is really all about prayer. You got verses 23 and 24. That's about prayer. If you ask the Father for anything in my name, who is going to give it to us? The Father is going to give it to us. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name, meaning to the Father directly. Asked and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. Now, when does that prayer promise come into being? Well, look at verse 23. What's the first three words? In that day. Note again in verse 26. In that day you will ask in my name. Everybody see that? Now, here's the question. What day is that? Okay, I got a whisper back here. Resurrection. Any other whispers? I'm sorry? Crucifixion. Okay, crucifixion. Got any other whispers? All right, now remember something. Whenever I asked a question, the answer is in the text. Everybody remember that? You remember the context, context, context. The answer is in the text. And actually, in the flow of this argument, in that day is the day that their grief will be turned into joy. Okay? Note it again. He said, verse 16, a little while and you will no longer see me, a little while and you will see me. They don't understand that, right? You ever read something in the Bible you don't understand? Okay, they didn't understand this. So they were debating it. Verse 19, Jesus knew that they wanted to question him about that statement. And then he answers it. He's going to answer it directly in verse 28, but he's going to answer it this way. Truly, truly, verse 20, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Look at verse 21. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born in the world. Verse 22. Therefore, you too have grief when? Now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. So in that day is the day in which they see him again, and their heart will rejoice, and their grief will be turned into joy, just like a woman when she has a child. So in that day, when they see him, they're not going to question anything. And he says, in that day, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24, until now you have asked for nothing in my name, asked and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. Meaning you're going to ask the Father, but I'm not saying to you that you will that I will request of the Father on your behalf, because the Father himself loves you. Everybody see that? Okay, so if you wanted to put down something, you may want to put down this little sentence. Prayer in Jesus' name is not getting Jesus to ask for us. Now, does any denomination believe that? Is there any religious institution that believes something along those lines? And the answer to that is yes. The answer to that is the Roman Catholic system. Why do they have all these saints? Because you pray to the saint, and then the saint takes your petition either to God or to Mary. And then Mary, if you pray to Mary, then Mary takes your petition and takes it to the Son, because they believe that Mary has the ability to kind of overcome Jesus' reluctance. Okay? Folks, this verse dogmatically denies all that. At the day in which they saw him, what began to be instituted? They and us can go to the Father directly. Everybody see that? Okay. We don't need, in other words, you don't need a priest. You don't need to come to me and say, here's my prayer. Would you take it within the veil? Would you present it right there before the Ark of the Covenant? No, 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 no. The veil is going to be rent, right? This is direct access to God. In fact, Romans chapter 5 says that we stand in this grace right before his presence. And so you look in the Old Testament, you always have intermediaries. You got Elijah receiving a word from God, and then he takes it to Ahab, right? You got Isaiah delivering the words to Hezekiah. Hezekiah's praying. Who got the answer? Isaiah. Isaiah goes and delivers the message to the king. And even the disciples here in their day, they also received truth through the priest who supposedly represented them to God. And being Jesus' 12 disciples, it gives inference here that who did they pray to? Who did they ask things of? Who did they request things of? Him. I mean, face to face. Okay, so if they needed something, they could just go to him directly. I mean, he's right there, right? But upon Jesus' ascent back to the Father, he opens up a way so that you and I can go to the Father directly. Thanks be to God for that. So today, asking and receiving was to be directly to the Father by a new and living way, Jesus Christ. You ask the Father, can you finish this? In my name. That's the new and living way. And so, brethren, we have access directly. When we pray and Jesus is interceding for us, he is praying for us. But he's not taking our prayers and massaging them, okay, and then presenting them to God the Father. No, he says, you can come in my authority, you can come in my name, and you can go directly to who? So we can pray this, our Father, which art in where? Heaven. Everybody see that? And folks, the basis of all this is amazing. The basis of asking the Father directly is because, look at verse 27, because why? God the Father himself loves you. Everybody see that? God the Father himself loves you. Now, folks, you and I can understand God the Father loving God the Son. He's blameless, sinless, spotless, right? But the Father himself loves you. And, of course, the context here are those 11 men. Judas has now departed. Those 11 men and others that were behind the scene right there in front of them. Folks, the very foundation of us being able to go to God the Father directly in Jesus' name is because he himself loves us. Now, this word love is not the word love agape. This is the word phileo. This is, as it were, an emotional type of love. It is an emotional type of love between two people. It is a relationship type of love. Sometimes in our Bibles, it is actually translated with the word to kiss. That would be an emotional, right, type of love, a feeling type of love. Here, God the Father, I'm not saying that God the Father kisses us, but I am saying that God the Father has this deep emotional type of love to us because of his dear Son and the work of his dear Son on the cross. So look at it again, verse 27. For the Father himself loves you. Why? Two reasons. Because you have loved me. Second reason. And have believed that I came forth from the Father. So folks, what is the basis of God the Father loving us in this verse? It is on this basis that we believe that he is the Son of God. Everybody see that? We are persuaded of that. And secondly, because of our relationship to the Son of God, we do what to him? We love him. Okay, there's more to it than just that in and of itself. But that is an amazing thing. God the Father loves us because we love the Son. Now here's something even more deeper and then we'll be finished. Go over to John chapter 15 and look at verse 9. This too is after a precious promise that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But look at verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me. Well, let's pause there. How deep do you think that love was? Infinite. Between God the Father and God the Son?
Infinite.
Deep? High? Length? Breadth? Infinite?
Yes.
Can we use that? Can we use that word? What does infinite love look like? I don't know what infinite love looks like. Right? Because I can't love someone infinitely. Neither can you. But God is infinite, right? It's an eternal love. It's an infinite love. It's without height and length and breadth and depth. Does anybody have any problems with that? That the God the Father loves God the Son that way? And let's keep reading. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved. Now, I dare say that you might have a little bit of problem about that one. It's one thing to love a sinless, spotless, blameless Son of God, right? It's another thing to love a rotten, sinful, prideful human being that way. But Jesus loves us that way. He loves us with the same love as God the Father. Why? They're one. Yes? They're one. So folks, if they're one, and God the Father loves God the Son with that type of infinite, boundless love, and Jesus is loving us with an infinite, boundless love, that means who is loving us with an infinite, boundless love? God the Father. Through God the Son. Poured out into our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. Everybody with me? So folks, we do not need Jesus to do something with our imperfect prayers. We can go to God the Father directly. Because not only does God the Son love us with an infinite boundless love, but God the Father loves us with an infinite boundless love. And you know what? I praise the Lord for that. Because that means that both God the Father and God the Son love us with this infinite, boundless love, even if we're ignorant and have a lack of understanding of what He says to us. Isn't that where they were? A little while, and again a little while. We won't see you. We will see you. What in the world does that mean? You think they really got it after he gave them the birthing illustration? But did the Lord still love them? And he still loves us. In our spiritual ignorance and our lack of understanding and our finiteness, he loves us that way because of the work and merit of Jesus Christ on the cross and in his resurrection for his people. Amen? So we can go to him directly. So we can pray to God the Father for ourselves. We can say, teach us, give us understanding, turn our eyes away. We can do that directly to God the Father. And do you know what? If it's in his will, I guarantee you that God the Son is also praying that, and God the Holy Spirit is also praying that. And do you think God the Father would answer that? I do think that he would answer something like that.